that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Para X Network and The Gathering Radio Show. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. Welcome to another Tuesday.
It is another Tuesday. And it feels like a Monday. Because we were gone this weekend.
We were gone, yes. We had a great time. So we were at CryptidCon with the Squatchers in Frankfort, Kentucky. It rained all weekend, can I just say? Rain. Holy cow. But we had a great time at the event, and we had a great investigation of the Poplic Trestle, which we're going to talk about in more detail. And we'll talk about CryptidCon in more detail. But yeah, it was a really fun weekend and hard to get back in the groove, but here we are.
Yep, and it's good. It's good to be back. You know, like you said, it rained all weekend, which I think made it a little easier to be inside, I think.
Oh, yeah, so. For sure. And we got back, and today was a beautiful day here in Minnesota. And all our way back yesterday was blue skies, sun. The minute we got out of Kentucky, it seemed like, then it transferred into a really nice weather, and it's been beautiful outside today. So, yeah, it's great. I had the day off, so I was able to get some stuff done outside and, kind of enjoy this wonderful weather. So it was great.
Yes, it was beautiful today, beautiful yesterday. So, but it was a fun weekend.
It was very fun. And, yeah, CryptidCon itself was fun. This was the second year, so this was CryptidCon 2. Squatchers had been involved on the ground floor at the first one last year there, and it was very fun, and so we went back this year. And once again, it was just a really good time. We, visited with, we had a good time with Bill and Amy Lancaster, who have been on our show for Cultured Bigfoot. And they have a new documentary coming out, so I'm sure we'll have them back on the show at some point later this year. And got to see all of our friends in the cryptid world from down there. So it was very fun. There were a lot of people. Even though it rained, we got to see the Mystery Machine was outside and have our pictures taken with their crazy Sasquatch and whatever that was, Dogman? Not sure what it was.
It looked more like I guess it was a dog.
Dogman. Yeah, I don't know.
It was really creepy. Yeah. It was big and creepy. The Sasquatch looked weird.
Yeah.
But the Wolfman thing, Dogman thing looked kind of cool.
Yeah. But what were your thoughts about it? So this was your first year there, Heidi. What did you think about the whole thing?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was intrigued because, we come at it from the Bigfoot side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pleasantly surprised going there that it was all cryptids, mm-hmm. And I know it's a cryptid con, so I get that. I knew that, but it was really cool to see how deep some of these other groups went in with other mm-hmm. cryptids, not just Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And there were other groups like ours, that were all Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see some of the groups that would go broader or mm-hmm. that's all they did is all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was really neat to talk with some of those groups mm-hmm. just to see how passionate they were about just other cryptids. Mm-hmm. And, we do a little bit of dabbling. I think, just being in it, we've kind of started to dabble. And I think that's, we've kind of talked about expanding that. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we did this weekend.
We did.
You know, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So it's just, it's fun to hear about all these cryptids. And there were other people there too that, you know, I was talking with a group that is a nonprofit that was supporting the creator of the name of the Ouija board. You know, it's this woman that, and now I forgot her name. See, this is how history has just erased her completely. Mm-hmm. And she's credited for naming the Ouija board and then gets shuffled under the rug because she's a woman. And this was back in the 1800s. And so there's this society that's putting together these funds to help support memorials and plaques and her headstone and all these different things. And I thought that's pretty cool.
So who was the woman that discovered the Ouija board? I guess I don't even know the story.
Well, it's not interesting because I have all the information at home and I don't have
So, okay.
But that's, you know, it was interesting because I wouldn't have even thought of it. And then here I see this table and, you know, they're selling different things to raise money. It's a nonprofit, you know, they're doing it because they want to do it. They're not making money on this deal.
Yeah.
And all the money that they're raising is going towards, like I said, these memorial plaques of where she lived, where she's buried, all these, you know, different things.
Yeah.
And I thought, how cool is that?
That is cool. You
know, and it's stuff that I didn't even know about. So I took the information. Of course, I haven't had time to look through it.
Yes.
But I will, because I did buy one of the Ouija boards. They found, which I thought was cool, they found, I don't know how long ago, not that long ago, this group, company, man, someone bought a warehouse, and there was a bunch of boxes in there because it was an old game warehouse where they made board games. And one of the boxes, or multiple boxes probably, they found all these Ouija boards from the 1930s.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do with them, so they called up this society and said, hey, if you're a nonprofit, can we donate these to you and you can use them to fundraise?
Yeah.
How cool. So I had to snap one of those up.
Of course.
Yes. Well, that's pretty neat.
And, you know, Ouija boards are a board game. And tell everyone what was on the other side of that Ouija board.
Yeah, you flip the Ouija board and it's checkerboard.
Yeah.
So you can play checkers or Ouija.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I thought, well, that's cool. I mean, it was made in the 30s. So that's the intention, is it's just a board game on one side, a board game on the other.
Yes.
Like, you can talk to spirits or you can, you know, play, checkers.
Your mom comes in, you put the checkers on there really fast.
Oh, no. I put mom playing Ouija with there. You know, playing Ouija with everyone. So, anyway, I thought that was pretty cool to see just other, you know, it was a variety of groups there. So, I thought that was pretty neat. And, yeah, I thought it was cool. And it was neat to just see like-minded folks, you know. And the thing that I was pleasantly surprised is how many kids.
Yes.
Were in, just all in to this Bigfoot thing. They were really well versed.
Oh my gosh!
On Sasquatch searching.
Yes,
I was shocked.
It was so fun. It was so fun, and we had several of them at our booth. Several of them.
Yeah.
You know, whether they thought it was easier to talk to girls about it, you know, we have a picture of our favorite, I shouldn't say our favorite, but Gunner, who was this little 7-year-old from the bottom, river bottoms down on the Tennessee and Kentucky border, was just phenomenal. And we put his picture on our Facebook page and said, you know, he's a junior squatcher, and his mom commented, oh yeah, that's my boy, girl magnet or something.
It was cute. Yeah. He was surrounded by our girls.
Yeah.
And he looked pretty happy with himself. He was very, well versed in looking for Sasquatch ideas. I mean, we actually have some ideas we might use.
Oh gosh, yes. He was great. He was great. And he was, you know, moved the hand motions. He was looking at our pictures of, you know, the logs that were used for stick structures that clearly had been broken. And he was using those motions with his hands like Sasquatch would use to break them. The twisting motion.
Yeah.
He was fabulous.
The kids were really cool. There were young boys, young girls, and they were just really interested in Sasquatch. And we went to some of the talks too, and the kids were participating in some of these talks. You know, they would have guest speakers, and, you know, they have a lineup both days of different speakers from different groups. Yeah. And there were kids participating in these questions.
And they were smart. Smart.
They really smart questions.
Oh my gosh.
And had really smart comments. And I'm looking at the adults in the room going, I think we've all just been upped by the kids.
I know, right?
You know, I'm looking around going, okay, there's like not as many kids as adults, of course, but the kids have taken over, and yes, they have exceeded our brain capacity by adding.
Well, you know, and I even think the presenters said, "Oh my gosh, who are you?" I seem to remember them saying something about that. I've just never seen a kid that has this much knowledge of Bigfoot or asks such cool questions, you know? I mean, they commented about that. It was just totally, totally, totally amazing. And we had such a good time with these kids. Like, you know, several came up to our booth, you know, it was Gunner, and then there was that one you were really chatting with. And, you know, just had us by the, you know, telling us this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, their proud parents, you know, stood behind them. And, you know, I got to say kudos to these parents who get these kids out in the woods and get them thinking and, you know, about Sasquatch. And, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm sure they watch the TV shows or the YouTube channels or whatever, because every single one of them had that technique down and was like, they knew exactly what they were looking at our pictures. And, you know, it was just totally cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, like you said, kudos to the parents, because these parents are taking their kids out in the woods. These kids aren't just watching the TV shows.
No.
They're going out searching.
Yes.
And, you know, they seemed like they really wanted to have an appreciation for the woods or the forest, you know, for their kids. Mm-hmm. And so letting their kids go out and explore, you know, they were going out with them because some of these kids were young. Mm-hmm. But they would go out and search around and look for different things and, you know, different types of trees and plants and whatever. And hey, if we can see something that has to do with maybe Bigfoot or whatever, you know, it wasn't that the parents were, oh, that doesn't exist, or no, they're not. They were like, hey, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's go out and see.
Well,
so it was cool.
It was cool. And then, you know, the parents talked about different cryptids that, you know, like Gunner's dad was talking about where they live down in the swamplands of, you know, southern Kentucky, that there are things down there that, oh my God, you would never believe is down there. I mean, you know, one of the things I asked him was when I was down in Virginia, I heard that panthers that are said to be long extinct from the U.S. have been spotted down in those parts. And I asked him specifically, I said, have you seen, what about panthers? I heard they're around there. Oh, yes. I mean, you know, he was talking about that. And I think he's also an avid hunter, right? Not a Bigfoot or anything like that, but a hunter, as was many of their parents, you know. And I think they just had these kids out there with them, which is cool. But, you know, the fact that they were, you know, looking actively for other things other than, you know, kill.
Mm-hmm.
But way to go. Kudos to all these parents. That's what I say. And then for bringing them there and, you know, letting them just, you know, we just let them go, you know, and we're like, yeah, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And it was fabulous.
It was cool. Yeah, it was really fun to see so many young people there and a variation of ages, you know, I mean, and the whole crowd, too. It was little kids to, you know, lots
teenagers or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, and just some of the people too, that the adults there, it was a range of ages. It was everybody, you know, it wasn't just a certain group of people. So it was cool to see so many people coming together for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just a lot of young people or a lot of, you know, older people. It was a huge mix, and that was what I thought was really neat.
Oh, yes. And we met some adorable people. So there's another podcast that's just getting going called Tinfoil Headphones, and they have been following us on Twitter. And they were there, and they were so fun. They're these young kids about my daughter's age, and there were three of them. And, oh, my gosh, we had such a good time with them on Saturday night. We just had they were just fun. And then they came and interviewed us. And, Heidi, what was really funny is they said to us, well, you know, our podcast is kind of goofy, so we totally understand if you don't want to participate. And I'm like, are you kidding? I think everybody's going to love you just because you are what you are. You know what I mean? We will for sure do this. And the surprise of the weekend was that we were interviewed by a TV show in Canada. Heidi and I and Katie all were interviewed. It's called Red Earth Uncovered, and it's the First Nations. I guess they have some kind of channel up there because that's what it sounds like. It's a cable channel. And this particular show is all about different legends, what they think of Bigfoot and other cryptids. It's like a whole cryptid show.
Yeah.
And so they came here and they asked us specifically about our Bigfoot, what we know about the legends of Bigfoot here in Minnesota with the Native Americans. And so that was really cool. I mean, they asked us a lot of things about us and Squatchers too, but they, what they wanted to know was the legends that we've heard, and we've heard many, and the stories that we've heard from the natives. And it was very fun. I hope we get to see it. I'm not sure if we will, because only airs in Canada, but you know, we have Alan up there.
Yeah.
So hopefully he will get us whatever it is. I know they're on Facebook, and they do have, I saw that they have previews or something of their shows, so maybe they'll be on YouTube somewhere. But sounds like a really cool show and a really cool concept, and I had no idea it was going to be a TV thing. The girl, the producer, came and asked me if we'd like to talk to them about what we've heard, and I said, sure. And then the next thing we knew, Heidi, here's this guy that comes to our booth and says, hey, when you guys come at 2 o'clock, bring your t-shirts and Sassy, Sasquatch, which is our, you know, team mascot, and other things. And I'm like, why? Well, so we can show them on camera. And I'm like, cameras? What is this about? I guess I had no idea when I signed up for this. So it was quite a very fun surprise. And it was very fun. The whole thing was very fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, it was. Sorry, I'm trying to keep up with the chat room here. All of a sudden, we've got a lot of stuff we got to catch up on. But yeah, it was a really good time. One of the things, let's see here, I'm going to go back to Karen had a comment. She was asking how were they with the spiritual end of things. And I'm guessing they is other people, other booths and things, not out just to hunt and kill, I hope. And I really didn't hear any of that.
I didn't either. Not from any of the Bigfoot researchers down there either. We heard some really cool things that we, you know, like leaving peanut butter out. I mean, apparently they do this a lot in Nutella, and like those ones, Tom, I can't remember his last name, but the Kentucky Bigfoot researchers had left, was it Nutella or peanut butter? I'm not sure out there.
I think they've done both, or someone's done, because they didn't have peanut butter, they had Nutella and they left that out.
Yeah.
And it was twisted open.
Yes.
Hands dug into it, and then it was twisted closed and set back where it was.
Yes.
And, I mean, sure, could it be a human? I guess, but it was really high up there, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
They put it really high up in a tree.
And
so
the fingers were huge. They casted them, right? They had the cast there.
They were
like not human fingers. And they also told the story about how they did that, and they had a trail cam on them too. And, we always have said Bigfoots are really smart, and the trail cam showed a stick grabbing at the peanut butter jar and pulling it off camera. And then they found the empty peanut butter jar somewhere a ways away. So no wonder no one ever gets footage of Bigfoot, right? Because he's too smart for us.
Well, yeah, that's not hard. but, you know, it was interesting that there was nobody there that I saw, that anybody, I don't think anybody saw anyone that was out to hunt Bigfoot.
No, I didn't either.
Mm-mm. So,
no, it was fun. Nick Groth was there, who's a paranormal peep, and I did chat with him for a few minutes, and he's such a cool guy. What can I say? I thought he would, you know, I told him about these kids. I said, my God, Nick, they are the smartest kids here I've ever seen, you know, and I just told him a little bit about, he says, isn't that great? And I said, it is. It's far out, you know? So I had a little bit of a conversation with him, but yeah, he's cool. Everybody there was just phenomenal. You know, I got to say, we had a really good time, really good time. So we're very happy that we went. And yes, the cryptids in Kentucky are crazy from one end of the spectrum to the other. And Kat is asking about the Land Between the Lakes creature. Yes, we have heard about the lake creature. Many people have told us about this lake creature. I think he's in western Kentucky, from what I heard. But it's a creature like our creature here in Minnesota. I mean, it sounds like it's a kind of like a, you know, a long neck in the water, a water long neck, Brontosaurus. But, you know, there's just a lot of them. And like that Gunner's dad said, oh my gosh, the things that we see down in the river bottom there is just quite scary, actually. Mm-hmm. Some people won't even go out of their houses down there.
Yeah. They've seen creatures that you just can't, you can't describe. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting because it goes into areas of cryptids that I don't think anybody really has a line on, you know? So I thought that was interesting that people are describing cryptids that really, you know, you talk to some of the groups down there and they don't even have them on their maps.
No.
So I thought, gosh, there might be more around that is undocumented. I mean, not that these are officially documented, but people kind of have a line on them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was crazy. Kentucky, seriously, they've got some weird stuff going on. And then Karen sent a link to a news article that talks about the woods of Kentucky and some animals being killed by a large, what they believe is cat there. And here we were walking around in the woods, not deep woods, but yeah. Still it's like, yeah, watch out.
Well, know. And you know, when we had dinner at, we had dinner at Waffle House when we were done investigating the public trestle, which many of us that were there had never been to the Waffle House before. And what is your review of the Waffle House, Heidi? Did you love it?
I liked the grits.
Oh, I loved the grits.
Grits were good.
The waffles were good.
The waffles were good.
The conversation was good. So the two people that were working there, one of them had seen some kind of creature with yellow eyes and about 8 feet tall, and it scared the living daylight out of him. And I thought that he had said that, you know, he was kind of seen over the period of a couple of weeks and then disappeared. But it was very close to the public trestle and very close to this Waffle House where we had dinner. So we were hoping, of course, that we would see it. We went back out the next day before we left, and we were hoping we'd see the yellow-eyed 8-foot monster, but we didn't.
No, we did not. But I'm glad we went back. I'm glad we went twice.
Yes.
And we'll
yes.
talk about that in a second, because we do have some, we do want to talk about our investigation.
We do.
It was pretty interesting. And so we'll talk about that probably after the break here. Mm-hmm. We'll start getting into that. But mm-hmm. we do have some other questions I want to make sure we answer from the chat room.
Well, Swanee asked, did we meet Bobo? I did not talk to him this time, Swanee. We were so busy at our booth that I just, and then when I looked up, he was busy. And I didn't see him Saturday night. So they have this after party where everybody goes to. And I, last year, we chatted a lot at that, but I didn't see him there this year. So I'm not sure where he was, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Did you meet him, Heidi?
No, I didn't.
No.
And he was busy at the table, because I made the rounds a couple of times.
Yep.
We'd split up and take the rounds, and mm-hmm. he was busy every time I went over by the table, and so I just didn't want to sit and hang out
and wait.
Yeah. And so then I would go by again, and he wasn't there, and so I don't know. I'm sure he's busy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. And I did talk to Cliff Brockman just for a brief moment on Saturday night. But both of those, you know, they're popular people, and so they always have a line of people. And, you know, we had a line of people at our booth, so it's not like we actually have time to talk to others, unfortunately, you know, or socialize that much with them. But, so that was fun. So what else were you going to say? I'm sorry, I kind of interrupted you, Heidi.
No, that's okay. I don't even remember what we're talking about. I was looking at the chat room here. I want to make sure that we get to some of these questions here. And Kat was saying the Land Between the Lakes monster or creature isn't a lake monster. And we knew that last week because we had been, remember, I assumed it was lake monster. And then I think it was Arizona Mike was saying no, or someone was saying it was an in-between. It was on the land. And so it's more like a wolfman kind of monster.
Oh, that's right. And somebody did tell us that down there, too. I remember people telling us that.
Yeah.
At the conference. One or two people were talking about that lake monster.
It's a land creature. Yeah. So when you said lake monster, I'm like, no, I made that mistake last week.
That's right.
So
I forgot. So much has happened. I just can't keep things straight, you know?
And seriously, there's 100 cryptids down there this weekend that people were talking about. And so I couldn't even keep my own ideas straight about what I wanted to start asking questions about, because there was just so many things to ask about. So,
I know. It was crazy. But you know what? We're going to have a guest on our show in the coming weeks who is he knows all about the Kentucky cryptids. And I'm sure he will have some really good stories for us. We asked him, first of all, about the Mothman, but he runs a museum about all cryptids, and he's well-versed in all of them in Kentucky. So I think that'll be a really fun interview. It'll be fun to talk to him about. I think we asked him about the lake monster, too, maybe. I'm not sure. You know, we talked to so many people.
Yeah.
It's just hard to remember.
Yeah, it is. So that's where, if we're getting our cryptids confused, I apologize, because that's not our intention. But there were so many. I was surprised at how many things people are researching and looking at that are out there mm-hmm. that have enough merits that people want to look at it and take time to research it. So, I don't know. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. My goodness. So, yes, we had a blast. And, you know, and the people that came to talk to us, not just the kids were well-versed and educated, but most of the, all of the adults that came and talked to us also were very well-educated. I mean, the dad of that one was a geologist and a lawyer, and oh my gosh, he just had credentials up the wazookie. Mm-hmm. And most of them did. Most of them did. I mean, you know, it was just very fun to talk to these people who were, and we had several people that came to see us because they had seen our tweet or whatever that got passed around by CryptidCon. So that mm-hmm. was really fun too.
Yeah. They came looking for us because yes. they saw our Journey to Kentucky
yes.
post.
Yes.
And so they said, hey, we saw you guys were on the road and we came to say hi. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
So it was neat. It, you know, it just, everybody was really friendly and it was really fun. So, mm-hmm. You know, it'd be fun to do more, more events of that nature mm-hmm. down the road, you know, mm-hmm. just getting out there, meeting people who are curious and want to know more about this whole cryptid thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Sasquatch or lake monsters or whatever, I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's always fun to do these things. And, you know, I've always said whenever we talk, we have our Squatch chats here in Minnesota. You know, people regale us about their big book stories and they come armed with, you know, their pictures and whatever they have. But many times a lot of them talk about other cryptids that are right here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we have to get on that and start researching all of them, I think, because it's fun. I mean, it's so fun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because you think of how vast this planet is and how small it feels. I think because of the internet, we get fooled into thinking mm-hmm. we know everything, we've discovered mm-hmm. everything, and that's so not true, you know, because there's so many things that evidence is pointing to something happening.
Yes.
You know, there may not be proof of what it is, but there's too much to ignore.
Yes.
And it just, it makes you curious. It makes you want to get out there and see what's going on.
Oh my gosh, no kidding. Oh, it's so fun. It's so fun.
So before we go on break, we had a question from Kat that said, you know, we had been talking about the peanut butter and putting mm-hmm. stuff out at the stick structures. And Kat had asked, have you found any footprints around where the stick structures are?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go back. We haven't gone back for a couple weeks. So we are going to go back. When we go back, I think we'll bring out some peanut butter or something. And then putting it in a container, like a peanut butter jar, would be hard for an animal to open. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, they might be able to tear into it at some
yep.
point. Oh, rip it through, you know, with a yeah. seat, but that might take some work. But if it was opened, like twisted open, I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
You know, like this one was that they
yeah.
had. So we'll definitely do that and go back. And we, you know, we had some interesting tips of mindfulness to look for things outside of the stick structure, too. You know, the
yes.
where the location is, you know, so it was cool to get some tips from people mm-hmm. on how to approach going back to the stick
yes.
structures. So.
And I think some of those came from the kids, right? Some
yeah,
of those
they did.
Came from the little kids.
<They did.
laughs> I mean, they really gave us some cool ideas.
I know. I'm like, too bad this kid doesn't live in Minnesota.
Yes.
You'd be coming with us as a little, you know, unofficial, official
Absolutely.
Researcher along
Absolutely.
With your parents.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Anyway, yeah, it was so we're excited to go back out. So we'll be going back in the next couple of weeks back to our stick structure quadrant
mm-hmm.
to see, you know, if there's any changes and mm-hmm. put some.
And people were fascinated with the whole story of the stick structure quadrant on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, so, yeah, very cool. Well, you know what? It's almost 8:30. So we're going to go to the break and then we will be back and we will talk about our investigations at the Public Trestle for the Goat Man. So stay with us right here on the Para X Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series, The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear... Line!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. And we're talking about our adventures in Kentucky this weekend. Yeah. And we'll be talking about our investigation at the Popelick Trestle here in a second. We've been just talking about how awesome CryptidCon was this weekend, and we're trying to catch up with some of our comments here in the chat room before we talk about our investigation. We were talking about Bigfoot and putting things out, going back to our tree structure quadrant, and Kat in the chat room had said that she's curious as to why we're so looking at these structures as being Bigfoot-related, and she said that she's thinking that they don't look like anything different than normal tree fall after wind or lightning. Just why, wondering why you believe that squatches are involved. Now, I will say that I'm not going to say that squatches are involved for sure, because I can't say that.
Right.
I have no proof. I have no proof that it's actually squatch. What I do think is it's interesting because in this woods, which has, I don't know, thousands of acres.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This one little area.
Yeah, tiny area.
Has a huge number of these structures. And we have walked all around outside of this area and found none of this. And we've walked miles through this this forested area and have seen nothing like what we found in this quadrant. So I think it's interesting. That's why we're focused on it, and that's why we're looking at it. Can we say it's Bigfoot? No.
No, because we've never seen him do it. But, you know, it's the way they're constructed as well. I mean, there are big timbers that are obviously twisted, broken, and put into place. I mean, wedged into place and, you know, wedged into Y-shaped formations. They're shaped like teepees. You know, one of the things I asked Alan Yerxa once was, do you think that Native Americans learned how to build teepees from Bigfoot stick structures? And he said, I believe he said, you know, there is a theory that talks to that. So... Who knows? Until we see one actually build one, I guess we won't know. But it's very interesting, and all the researchers believe that they are.
I just think it's interesting why this condensed little area, why are they nowhere else? And it's not on any trail. It's not on any path. It's way, way, way in there. So I'm curious. And is it a living structure? Absolutely not. It doesn't look like anything that you could crawl into, live in, do anything. Is it marking some kind of territory? Is it some kind of directional, marker? Is it something to, is it a warning? Is it a gathering? I don't know. But that's why we keep going, because we're curious and we want to know. And so we keep going. So that's why. So thanks for your question, Kat. I appreciate that. And I will turn it over now. We're going to get back to our investigation at the Popelick Trestle, which I was excited to go to. You'd been there before, Steph.
Yeah.
I had not been there, so I was excited to go there. And I will tell you, walking up on it, because you had to park a little ways away and then take this path over to the trestle. And when I first saw it, I felt this like hit of energy in my chest. It just kind of hit me. And I don't know why, because I've seen train trestles before. It didn't look any different than any other train trestle. It was a train trestle, but boy, something on that energy walking up to it, I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
And we went there in the evening, Mm-hmm. And then we went back in the morning.
Yes.
But that first evening, it was like, whoa,
I know.
Something's going on here. Energetically, something's different here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I know every time I've been there, I feel that bump in the chest and the whole feeling, you know, the heaviness and the, oh my gosh, what's going on here as well. And I did this time too. You know, I think we all did, you know, and it's a very, first of all, it's a very spooky looking trestle, but that's not why. I mean, that's for sure not why we feel that way. But it looks like an abandoned trestle. It looks like an abandoned trestle. And so I guess for people that, you know, go up to the top and, you know, take a walk on the trestle, why wouldn't they think that there is no trains? But in all reality, those trains come by like every 20 to 25 minutes. Am I right?
Well, at least.
We were there for an hour and a half, 2 hours that night, and there were multiple trains that came.
I was surprised at how many trains came through. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting. There was five of us that went, and we had multiple pieces of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's not a whole lot of area that you can cover near the trestle in that area. You know, it's a very condensed area because you can only go away from the trestle. You can't follow the train tracks because of the fences and the river and all this stuff. So so there's a limited area of investigating that you can cover. And so we really had to stay in one small area. And it was interesting how different the energy felt when you were right there with the trestle, which I would imagine some of that is coming from the train itself. Mm-hmm. And that movement of the train with that metal trestle could create a ton of energy.
Yes.
You know, and then you've got paranormal investigators coming on a probably regular basis. You know, and checking it out, which also then adds to the energy.
Yes. Another layer.
Mm-hmm. So it was definitely, you could feel something there. I thought going at night was different than going in the morning.
Totally different feeling.
When we went at night, it wasn't dark yet. It was just starting to get dark when we were leaving. Mm-hmm. When we got there in the morning, it was completely dark.
Yes.
And it was just starting to get light when we left.
Yes.
So we were there at two totally different times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the energy at night was much more intense.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't even dark, though. It was just evening,
I'll
say. And it was much more intense than the morning energy.
Yes.
Even though the morning was dark, completely dark when we got there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that night, the evening energy was much more intense. Mm-hmm. But that's also when all the train activity was. Mm-hmm. We didn't hear any trains when we were there in the morning.
No. There were no trains there. And none that we saw. And we were there for what, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes.
Probably even closer to an hour. Maybe 45 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Because we had to get home. You know, we got up as early as we could, but after a weekend of no sleep, you know. But so we did get in another good investigation in the morning, too. And I'm really glad we did. I'm really glad we got up and did it because it was such a different feeling.
Yeah, it was. And it was interesting because we decided, so we have a couple of clips that we want to share.
Yes.
Some audio clips that we got at the location. And we had been doing some filming for Facebook through the Squatchers page and the Gathering page just to let people know where we were and just show them what it looked like and, you know, just for, you know, to let people know what we were up to. So anyway, so we were starting to do some filming and lo and behold, here comes a train.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Okay, so now we have all this racket, and we're trying to do a video. We're like, you've got to be kidding
me. It's not going to work.
So the first clip that we're going to share, we had stopped the video and started talking like, well, of course, a train's coming through. So we're going to wait until the train is done, then we'll pick up a video again. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Steph, and tell about what we were talking about at that point.
Well, Kat's obviously seen the videos because she said that she was wincing as the train passed over while you were near. And then she said, did the person in the truck ever stop?
Oh, yeah, because there was a truck went by four times.
Oh, my God. Always. And that it was so loud, you can hear it on, I'm sure, all the videos that we put out there because he kept coming by and we kept laughing. Oh, there they are again. Well, I suppose it was kind of a weird thing, you know, seeing us all up there with our instruments and, you know, looking around. But, so the first clip that we have is, you know, it was shortly after this, we waited for the train to pass overhead, and then we were all just kind of talking, and I had said something to the effect of, you know, I really wish I could get to the other end of the trestle, because I really want to see what's down there. You know, I don't know if it's private land, or maybe it's, you know, public land, but it would be a good thing to investigate there. And Tim said, oh, the train's already passed, Steph. Just go up on the trestle and walk it, and then you can get to the other end. You know, and then somebody said, yeah, there's no more trains tonight. You know, because, and then
Because we were joking, because that's obviously not true.
Right.
We don't know when the next train's coming.
And then
we're we were laughing.
Yeah, so then there's quiet. You know, it was, probably 20 or 30 seconds before this happened. And it's a very short EVP. It's only like 2 or 3 seconds, and it'll happen right away. So, Sarge, can you roll that footage?
And we'll play it twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
So that little giggle, whatever it is, was not from any of us.
No, it wasn't.
We're not sure what it sounds like. You know, our Cindy said it sounded like a goat to her. Whether it was or, you know, could it be the goat man laughing? It does sound like an owl. Yep, that's what I thought too, Pat, but there was no owls anywhere near us. And if it was an owl, we sure would have heard that with our ears.
Yeah, we didn't hear.
No.
And the thing with the wildlife there is that we would hear, we heard the wildlife, mm-hmm. and we commented, we heard the crickets, we heard the birds,
mm-hmm.
We saw an egret that was beautiful.
Yes.
Flying.
Yes.
We commented on that.
Mm-hmm.
If there was anything auditory or visual, we were commenting on it,
mm-hmm.
because it was interesting, and really there was nothing. If we would have heard that, if it was a giggle or an owl or whatever, we would have commented, because Tim also had his voice recorder going,
mm-hmm.
and for documentation, we would have said, oh, so-and-so was giggling, or, oh, that was an owl, or
exactly.
whatever, because it drives you mad when you're listening to audio and you don't document this stuff.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there over, you know, you waste all this time and then you realize it was an owl or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he caught the same thing on his voice recorder. Too, the same giggle or whatever that was. So
mm-hmm.
it was interesting. Nobody commented on it, but
no.
it was very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't tell what it was, but here we are kind of joking around because we knew it was bad news if we go up there.
Yes, absolutely. And my voice recorder was the one that caught this, and it was not near us. It was over, probably 20 feet away, sitting on a cement ledge. And so I believe it was kind of pointing towards the gates that go up to the trestle, actually. You know, if you could get through the gates, you'd get up to the top of the trestle.
Which are locked. You can't, I mean, you have to climb the gates and be illegal to do this because they
Absolutely.
Don't want you up there. So, yeah, you had your voice recorder sitting farther away from us than,
mm-hmm.
it couldn't have been us picking it up.
So,
I mean, we weren't laughing, so. Anyway, it was interesting that your voice recorder picked it up. And I think Tim might have been standing kind of over in that area too, where your voice recorder was, because you were not holding your voice recorder.
Yeah, so oddly enough, it's odd that he did not get that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he didn't.
Well, no, he did pick it up.
Not the laugh.
Oh, no, sorry, not the laugh.
Or the giggle.
No. Yeah, he picked up the other thing. So, let's see here. Kat said, used to be an owl that visited me. I never did see them, only heard them when he spoke. But if you didn't hear it, interesting. No, we didn't.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah. And Swanee, I apologize. You said, wow, the same EVP and two recorders. It's not this one. It's the next one that we're going to play that we got on the recorder. So we did get the same EVP on two voice recorders. It was just the other one. So it's
mm-hmm.
my mistake. So I apologize.
Yeah. So we don't know what it is. I know Cindy, when she said it, she said something about a goat, like almost immediately. She says, oh, it sounds like a goat or something like that.
She said a baby goat.
Baby goat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're like, oh my gosh. It does sound like an owl. I agree.
Well, and this is an interesting segue into our next EVP.
And it could be an owl because, let's set up the next EVP now, too, as we're moving along here.
Mm-hmm. So we had, later in the investigation, we had done some more videos and had been walking around. And I think this is, we were about 3/4 of the way through the investigation,
mm-hmm.
do you think? And I don't even remember what we were talking about. I can't remember what we were talking about, maybe doing another video or getting some pictures.
Yeah, I think
whatever.
We were, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we did not hear this at the time.
No, we did not.
This next audio, we did not hear at the time, and this audio was captured on both audio recorders.
Yes.
Yours and Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's louder in Tim's recorder than it is in your recorder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We did not hear this with our ears.
No. Because we most certainly would have said something and said, oh my God, did you hear that? Because, you know.
And
so,
considering how close it, how clear it was in Tim's voice recorder, which we don't have that recording yet, mm-hmm. but how clear it was in his recorder, it had to have been very close to him,
mm-hmm.
which would have been odd considering what it is.
Yes.
And we would have said something because it's connected to me in more ways than mm-hmm. one, so I would have said something.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Because we have on other investigations, we've said something because mm-hmm. this has happened before, but we heard it
mm-hmm.
and saw it, so mm-hmm. we would have said something.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play the next clip, and I think we should say what it is so people know what to listen for, don't you?
Yeah, so it's so there was a lot of silence because there's a train going overhead, actually. And so we're not talking, and then you hear what we believe is a caw from a crow or a raven that was not there. Clearly none of us heard this. So what does that mean? I don't know. But Sarge, can you roll that for us, please?
And he'll play it twice. So, that's interesting, because we did not hear it.
No, we did not. We had no idea this was going on. And, you know, Heidi and I have talked multiple times on the radio about crows and
yeah.
ravens and how we feel like, you know, they're always around to tell us things that are happening in our lives. And, you know, when there's a big change coming up, I always feel like I'm being followed by the crows because they're trying to tell me mm-hmm. something's happening.
And they've been present on other investigations that we've done,
mm-hmm.
especially when we think that things are coming that aren't good or we need to be careful.
Yes.
So we are very, very aware mm-hmm. when we hear a crow making a ruckus. Even if it's just one little caw,
yeah.
we would say something because
yes.
it's happened before
yeah.
and we pay attention to that
yes.
because we do believe it's a communication.
Yes.
And we did not hear it.
No.
We would have said something.
No.
Because crow is one of my totem animals. I would have said, hey, crow, good to hear from you. Glad you're here. Or, hey, is there something going on? Should we watch out?
Yep.
You know, I mean, we would have said something.
Yes.
And how loud it is mm-hmm. on Tim's voice recorder mm-hmm. compared to the voices.
Yeah.
So the voices are further away than this crow caw.
Yeah.
Because I listened to it again yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That thing had to have been so close to his voice recorder.
Yeah.
It was closer than a human voice, which is impossible because we would have seen it.
Oh, yeah.
And crows do not sit where we were hanging out. They would have been up in the trees.
No, we were on the other side of the trestle towards that area where I guess it would be on the west side of the trestle. Because I was talking about how that was where, you know, we got that photograph of that thing over my head, whether it was pixelation or not, I don't know. It's a very interesting photo, but that was from last year, but that is in that same place. And that's where I always feel like the presence of something. I don't know what, if it's the goat man or something else. But yeah, crows, if we would have known there was there, we would know because they've warned us as squatchers not to be in a certain area. You know, there were multiple crows hanging out behind trees, peeking and then crying, crying, crying. And then the minute we left that area, all was quiet and we
yeah.
didn't see them again. So
yeah.
we are very aware of them.
Yep. So it was interesting to hear that on the audio because it was clear and it was close because it was, especially on Tim's audio, it's closer than the human voices and he was holding his audio recorder.
He was. And I remember when because we were going over audio on the way home yesterday because it's 12 hours in the car, you know, and when he found it, he said, oh my God, Steph, listen to this. And it was so loud. It kind of scared me. I'm like,
it did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting it to be that loud. And I'm like, oh my God.
Because it was
like,
louder
right
than the voices.
You? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was clearer than the train. It was clearer than anything
mm-hmm.
that was around it. So when you hear how the voices are and the train and this caw, it's like, gosh, that thing has to be right there.
Mm-hmm.
If it was in the trees, it would have been maybe the same, you know,
mm-hmm.
level. It would have been more muffled. It would have been further away. I don't know. But it wouldn't have been that clear.
No.
And it wouldn't have been louder than everything else around it. So
yeah.
I think it was a spirit animal
yeah,
getting our attention.
Too.
You know, maybe couldn't get all the way through. So it just comes through in the audio.
Mm-hmm.
But how cool is that?
Very cool.
I think so.
Very cool. And then the other thing that happened while we were there was there's this area just east, just west. I keep saying east. I don't really know. I got to think about which direction. It doesn't matter. But near the trestle is this culvert, and there is like a natural water path that runs down the hill and into the river below. And there's this culvert there. And every time I've been there, and I've been there, this is my third time, I think, at the Public Trestle. And I always stop there and look. Something just makes me look. You know, we talked about it being an energy path, which for sure, I mean, water is a natural energy, but is it a spiritual energy path as well? I definitely think it is. And when I was standing there staring again for the, you know, umpteenth time, here comes this black, shadowy mist that was like supersonic. It just passed in front of me down into the culvert and then up the hill along this energy path. I don't know what it was, but it was very interesting. And I don't know, Heidi. I was the only one there. I know I yelled at you. I said, Heidi, look what I did. This is what I saw. Come over here. But it was already done. It was done. I stayed there for a few minutes to see if it would come back, and it didn't. But how interesting is that?
And it was cool because I had just stopped in that same spot, mm-hmm. not knowing that you had stopped there or been intrigued by that location when you've been there before. Yeah. You never told me that.
No.
And so I'm stopping at this culvert and I'm staring at it and just staring into this little, because it was getting dark. Mm-hmm. And so that little area was getting really dark because it was so in the trees.
Yes.
And I'm just staring into this dark little tunnel of trees that is following this little, you know, creek runoff thing, whatever it was. And I was just staring and I started taking pictures and pictures and I'm just staring going, God, something's about this.
Yeah.
This is some kind of energy line or something. Yeah. You know, following the water. And so then I moved on and then you followed up behind me and came to that same place and then you saw the thing and there's something to it.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I jokingly say, well, that's the goat man's den there, you know, because I think last year we even stood there and we took a lot of pictures and I think I said, I think this is where the goat man lives. Goat man, are you here somewhere? So yeah. And then we saw this and experienced all this. So very interesting, but yeah, I don't know what I think about the goat man, you know, after our investigation and all the things that we've seen and heard. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just last year, it was last year or the year before, there was a paranormal investigator that was killed there. And she and her partner in crime were actually in Kentucky to investigate Waverly Hills. And they heard about the goat man, so they went to the trestle. And they were lured up to the top of the trestle, just like, remember that overwhelming feeling I had last time I was there? And a train came, and they both laid down in the tracks. And, you know,
because they couldn't make it to the other side, right, to get off.
And I was watching, so I was beneath the trestle as a train went by, because I wanted to see how big is that area between the railroad ties and the train that you could lay there. And there is. I bet it's about a foot and a half. So I guess that would be your best choice, is if you could lay there, you know, very, you know, still and make sure that, you know, you didn't flip out or something. Apparently the woman must have flipped out or something, but the train hit her and then she was thrown and fell to her death. It doesn't really say if the train cut her in any way, but if the train hit her, I'm assuming that it was not a pretty sight. And she died there. And we did ask her name. We talked about her and to see if she would come
there
through.
Or if there's, because we wanted to help. I mean, I'm not there to use anyone's suffering or stuck spirit for my pleasure and enjoyment. If there's someone there that's stuck, I want to help.
Yes.
So that's why we're asking. If mm-hmm. anyone's still here that needs help, we can help. Mm-hmm. Let us know. And Tim actually heard on his voice recorder, and we're still trying to mm-hmm. decipher what it is. Mm-hmm. When I was asking her specific name, if she was there and if she needs help, he did get a response.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could have been someone else saying no.
Yeah.
Or some kind of response like that, like no one's here or yes, someone is. I don't know, because we didn't hear it at the time, and we still can't decipher what it is.
No, because it's talking many times in paranormal investigating. It's, you know, we can be talking and then something will come through that talks over us or under us. And it's hard to make out what they're saying or what their meaning is. But, you know, once we get these the other two things, you know, once you know, Tim gets time to do this, we'll play them on here, you know, at a future date, because they're very intriguing, very intriguing. So yeah, our time there was fun. And honestly, next time we're in the area, I will go back for sure and do another investigation because we found things. It was a very intriguing spot. Mm-hmm. Something's there. Something is there. Whether it's the goat man, and is the goat man a real creature, or is it a kind of another dimension creature?
We did ask that. I remember we were asking, you know, is the goat man, we were asking through the equipment, you know, to give us a yes or no or whatever, is the goat man real? And we weren't getting an answer. And I asked, is it a figment of paranormal investigators' imaginations or some kind of urban legend? And I got a yes. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, maybe there isn't really a goat man or whatever. And then it was interesting because a couple of questions later, I felt like someone was messing with us.
Yes, I did too.
You know, to say like, oh, there really is something, but we're not going to tell you, or we're going to let you think whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting too. So it was, you know, it was a cool place. The train trestle is just creepy and cool looking.
Oh,
we put pictures on our Facebook page so you guys can see what the trestle looked like. And it's just a cool rusty train trestle that is active and crazy. And I would go back in a second to do a little bit more investigating.
For sure. And I don't know if we'll get back to CryptidCon next year. I know we've been talking about other places we could go. And, you know, funny thing, Heidi, is that today on our Facebook page, CryptidCon is looking for a new venue in a new city.
Oh, really?
So their question was, would you like to see it in Louisville or Lexington, which is close to Frankfurt, where we were? Well, I voted for Louisville, so we'll see what happens. But whether we go to CryptidCon again or not, we just don't know. There's so many other ones out there that we would like to be a part of as well. So, but it was very fun, absolutely. And the Public Trestle, I mean, I'm just thinking, man, if we get to Louisville again, we can go back to the trestle.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd go swing through there again. I mean, it's easy to get there, and it doesn't take much time to go and, you know, hang out for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you have to set it up with a historic sites, you know, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's not like a building. Mm-hmm. So you just pop over there, do a little investigating and head out.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And that's why it made it so easy for us to go back a second time.
Yes.
Because, you know, we went there in the evening. I think we were there from like 7 to 8:30 or something. Mm-hmm. And then we went back the next morning. We got there about 6:15 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there for a while. And it was easy enough. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, worth it. We got enough out of it that made it worth it. So.
Oh, absolutely. So that was our time in Kentucky. And wow, this hour is almost done already. Two minutes.
I know. That's crazy. But, you know, I appreciate everybody's questions and comments in the chat room, too, because... Mm-hmm. You know, it's always cool to hear your stories and, you know, how they tie in with some of the things that we're talking about. So thank you for your comments and questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit more investigating of locations and talk about it here on the radio show, too, because I think we've got, you know, just opening up the idea of exploring here in Minnesota
their cryptids
alone is intriguing. So,
well, you know, we've often talked about the Lake Pepin Monster, so that would be an easy one for us to get. It'd be fun to go interview some people and check out the lake and see what we can find.
Yep, absolutely. So it was fun, and I'm looking forward to our next adventure. And, you know, would it be cool to maybe do a show from somewhere, even if we had to record it ahead of time and do it, you know, you guys, or even just getting some more EVPs and playing them during the show is cool.
So. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, well, it's time to end the show. Oh my gosh. 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Time.
Yes.
So thanks everyone for taking a listen. If you have any more questions, you know, if you have any ideas for a future show, do let us know. And we want to, you know, we want to thank Sarge, our producer.
Thank you so much for getting those EVPs set up for us, Sarge, and being the most awesome producer ever.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to ParaX Network for always hosting us and keeping us running. We appreciate that. And to all of our listeners, even if you're not in the chat room, thanks for tuning in. We always appreciate checking us out. And if, like Steph said, if you have any ideas for shows or topics that you'd like us to cover, send them our way. We will get them on the show.
Absolutely. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.